three, two, now.
What's so funny over there, player two?
Nothing. I just now know that when we point to each other, you're down this corner.
Yeah, you're
down here.
You're up there. I was pointing the right way.
Let's do like a high five. Do like a high five. Ready? Three, two, one. That's gonna look awful.
Well, it's not gonna look good, but you know, neither did the Browns in the 2016 season. So,
okay, fair enough.
Well, hey, welcome everyone to another episode of Player Two and Yemi Power Hour. What is up, everybody? If you're wondering what you're looking at, this is the visual podcast type thing that Player Two and I came up with, where we're trapped in an elevator for an hour. We only have an hour to talk, and once that hour is up, that's it. The elevator does close, and that's it. It's all over,
and you'll
folks.
You'll never find out.
Right, and we're never seen from again. That's another thing too.
Yeah, you'll never hear from us ever again.
We're gone. We're here, but we're here right now. So stick around for the conversation because it can go plenty of different ways. Remember, if you want to, you can check out the first episode, which is on my channel. I will be putting up a new SoundCloud account that has all the episodes in audio only form. If you would, I mean, who would not want to see our faces? I don't understand. But if that's the way you roll, I'll put it up on SoundCloud as well. But yeah, whatever. You know, whatever. Player two, I think you have a wheel for us to spin.
Yes, sir, I do. And obviously, from the first episode, we started speaking about the purpley dragon boy of Spyro. So he's now no longer in the renamed Power Wheel of Hour.
Rest in peace.
So so let's see what we're going to be starting off with. Today, the wheel is spinning. Okay, interesting one. We are starting with UK versus US slang.
Oh, dear.
And here we go, everyone. As you can clearly show, we are not prepared. It's purely random. It's purely whatever happens.
I forgot that one was on the list, so.
To be honest, without this list that I have with all of our stuff in it, I'd forget pretty much 90% of them, most likely. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Well, do you remember that old game we used to play on the Fair Business podcast? I think it was called Define That Slang.
Define That Slang. Hell yeah. Famous, that is, man.
let's start off with a word that I find fun in saying, and it's bollocks. Bollocks?
Could you say that again, please?
Bollocks. Am I saying it wrong, Mr.?
I think it's just your accent just makes it sound funny.
It's ball axe, okay? Ball axe.
What does bollocks mean then, bro?
It means testicles.
Yes, but in the terms of what we would use it for, what does that mean?
Poor quality or useless?
Something that's just bad.
I read this as habanero English, but it's actually Hiberno.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't even know what you were referring to.
I don't know. It says the meaning says the word is often used figuratively in colloquial British English and Hiberno English as a noun to mean nonsense.
Yeah. Well, we tend to, yeah. If somebody's it's like your version of like bullshit.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So if somebody's like waffling on, you can go, mate, that's bollocks.
What's waffling on mean?
Oh, waffling, when people just continue to talk for no reason, like going about the point. Like, you could have just said, you've gone from point A to point B, like instantly, but then you decide to go from point A. You may take a little hiatus to maybe like point G. You take a little detour down to point J. Mm-hmm. You then take a lovely 3-day weekend down to point Q. You then go back up north towards point W, and then you might finally get to point Z. So that's when people are waffling on.
So the conversation goes from. Well, actually, it probably starts with, you know, I was on the Titanic, and you go through every single thing that happened, when the main point of the argument is, it sank. That's pretty much it.
That's it.
We don't need
that's
the whole filler story of how you fell in love, and you banged in a car, and then, the ship hit an iceberg. That's where you need to start the story, and then you need to end the story with, yeah, we all pretty much died. It was...
Yeah, pretty much everyone died. It was a bad time for a lot of people.
It was a big F. That is...
can't believe that you just described the Titanic as a big F. Well, that was a big oof on the captain's part.
When they went down to discover it, I think it was James Cameron or whatever his name was. He went down just in the submarine on the Titanic, the side of the Titanic where the iceberg hit. It just showed F. That was it.
Yeah, you lied, the Titanic, F in chat.
F in chat. Oh, man. Do you have any questions about our American slang?
I don't know if it's so much like the slang, but it's just like when phrases are spoken and I have to almost like double take to remember what they are kind of thing.
Right.
And
like I do the same for you guys. Like anytime you say chuffed, cuffed?
What's... Oh, yeah, chuffed, yeah. So what does chuffed mean for you then? Is it like a thing?
Nothing. It means nothing to me. I mean, I know what it means. Oh, right. I know what it means because I've looked it up. But
yeah,
we don't use the word chuffed. That's not a word that we use.
No, it's not one of those things. But then you used it in one of your, I think, Yu-Gi-Oh! Videos the other day. And I just find it very confusing because obviously I don't know if it means the same thing to you. And the phrase was that he's got a lot of spunk.
He's got a lot of spunk. He's got a lot of huspa, you know.
Right. So spunk to you means what?
Energetic, running around. I would say Randy has a lot of spunk, my dog. But
right. Do you know what spunk is in British slang then, in British terms?
I'm pretty sure it's to make love, right?
No, spunk is like semen.
Oh, well, it's same thing.
So when you say someone's got a lot of spunk, we're like, whoa, okay.
Whoa, hold on there.
Also don't know how you know that.
Randy has his balls cut off, so I don't think he has any spunk left in him.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's not Jesus.
Like, if that's not like the saying of the entire series, he's had his balls cut off, so there's not a lot of spunk left in him.
I'm sure this will all come back around eventually. I mean,
amazing.
So another one that I had, I hear a lot, and I'm not sure exactly what it means.
Yeah.
But there's this one that's pants.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you guys say trousers for pants in America, yeah. But pants to you is underwear.
Yes.
Or. What else can it be? It can be something else too, like briefs, boxers.
We know what briefs are, but you tend to call them pants, if you see what I mean. And then if you've got like the short type in terms of underwear, like they're boxers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we either tend to say wearing pants or boxers for like boys, especially. I think with like girls, there's more variant of underwear names, right. Then, if you see what I mean.
I would think so.
So when you say that he had no pants on, to us it's like, okay, interesting. Whereas to you it's just like he sat there like in his pants, in his boxers or whatever, you know? So yeah, it's a big thing. But then I was speaking about this to somebody else as well, because where I'm from, obviously in Wales, you're sort of defined by what valley you come from, okay? Especially in South Wales, right?
Valley.
So like... In terms of where the valley that I'm from, certain words will mean certain things.
Oh,
right?
Valley, not value. I heard value.
Yeah, sorry.
Valley.
Yeah, valley. So basically, it's like.
What is this strange slang? Value?
A value? No. So basically, because then in your valley, there's a selection of sort of towns, so you can be from a particular valley, right? And then you can only be literally on the other side of the mountain. And you're from a completely different valley, and you have different explanations for things. Words mean different stuff, and it's quite like a big change. And I never really noticed it too much, apart from to you. What does the word fit mean? If you describe someone as fit, what does that mean?
But they're in good physical shape. They got
mean that here as well.
They got chiseled six-pack abs.
Yeah, but it can also mean that they are sexually attractive.
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I guess being fit does automatically make you attractive.
Not necessarily.
On the outside, so maybe not on the inside. That's...
Yeah, maybe. But so we always said that when we were growing up, if you said so and so is fit, it kind of made people think that you were interested in them. Then does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Right. So then I met someone. Not so long ago from a different valley, right? And they used the word fit to describe a young person, right?
Oh.
So at the time, I was like, I don't know how comfortable I feel with this. I don't know if I should say something about it. And it was only then when they continued to talk that fit in their valley meant that they were like hyperactive and that they were like difficult to control and they were a bit like wayward, if you see what I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
So, they had so a lot when of, they come to they me had, and they go, oh, that person spunk. Over there. Yes. Yes, they did. So, to, you know, it, I think with the whole slang thing, it's weird how lots of different names, like for instance, what do we call it an aubergine, but you call it an eggplant, right?
Say yours again.
An aubergine.
Aubergine, yeah. That's a foreign word to mean.
The purple emoji of the penis vegetable.
There, that's going in the trailer for this episode.
Oh God, yeah. So I think there's that one, and then there's the closet. I think we knew of closet because of the sort of connotation of if someone's closeted. Do you know what that means?
You're not a person who goes out much.
No. So you know when somebody's gay, for example.
Oh well, yeah, I know that mean. I was trying not to go the non-controversial route on that one.
I see. So, yeah, this is obviously going back way, way, way thing. We'll move on.
Well, I have a question for you, because when I Googled the UK slang words, I don't know if I got onto the UK version of Google, but it actually starred out the word bollocks. So is bollocks technically a swear in...
Yes.
So what about, like, other words that we've already gone over, like chuffed and stuff? Are those swear words, too?
No.
Are they the...
No, so bollocks is kind of like the swear version of, oh, that's balls, that is. Do you know what I mean? Oh, you're talking balls. Have you ever heard that one?
No.
No? So if somebody's talking balls or talking ass or like, it just means that they're talking nonsense, okay. Talking drivel, yeah. Talking shit, right? And so bollocks is like the swear word version of that. Like, because you can... bollocks something up, or you can talk bollocks, or whatever, right? So that's like the swear word. But chuffed just means like I'm super happy with that result. So it's just like not all of them are swears.
Okay, yeah.
Or cusses. Why do you call them cusses?
I didn't call them cusses. What are you talking about? I said swear.
No, as in like, why do Americans say that you cuss?
Cuss?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a historian.
We're saying that you curse.
Well, I usually say curse. They're curse words, not cuss. Okay. I think cuss is like an oldie English type word. Because there's actually a law in Virginia where if you cuss in public, profane swearing is a class 4 misdemeanor, which is punishable by like a $250 fine, which is pretty much on the same level as public intoxication. So
I thought you were going to say something like a proper like oldie English type law punishment.
It's a law that predates the Civil War. So,
yeah, that's what I mean. So I was expecting you to be like, it's punishable by being in the stocks for an hour.
You get hung by the neck until death. Yeah. 7 paces and then turn around and fire.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how much they enforce that law, but it's there. It's in their bill of whatever, their state constitution, whatever you want to call it.
I think, though, because there's so much rigmarole regarding... getting rid of laws, there's kind of like, well, nobody does them, so don't worry about it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the ban of alcohol back in the whenever that was, and it was like that lasted for like a few years, and like people were like, this isn't worth it.
Yeah, there's more deaths without alcohol. So
you ever heard of Al Capone?
Of course, I researched him when
mobster?
I was in comprehensive school, and we did the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, so I know that stuff.
Did you
that trumped you didn't
was that during school or on your own time though?
That was during school. I was year 8, so it'd have been like 12, 13.
Okay, so did you guys also go over like other American history stuff, like the Civil War and stuff?
Didn't go that far back because I don't know if your schooling system is
the reason I asked this to ours, I think we've had this conversation before because in school, from like middle school to high school, which is from like seventh grade, the 12th grade, we literally had to learn...
How old are you then?
Well, when you go into middle school, you're about 12 or 13, so right around the same age as you were. We had to learn about every single war that was fought in Europe, every single country that was in Europe, every single, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Rome, Constantinople, barbarians, you know, all that stuff. We learned all about that stuff. And whenever I talk to someone from the UK or Europe, I go, oh, you know...
what
just,
about this?
Yeah, just like that general in the war who became president. And you're like, what? I'm like, I had to literally learn every single name of your generals. You know, I had to learn about the Scottish Rebellion and how they had pistols on them, and then when the ammo was out of the pistols, they would throw the pistols, and then they would run towards you, and then they would pull out their sword, and then they would slice and dice you. And we had to learn all about that. And I was like, it was one of those things that's like you had to learn the dates, the names, the blah, 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 blah. And then you guys were like, yeah, we didn't go that far. Like, Civil War, fuck that, you know, that wasn't important.
Literally, I think, with regards to...
They probably teach 1920s. You, they're probably like, oh yeah, we bailed out the U.S. during World War II. It's like, it's the other way around!
I'm not being funny, right, but I think that's pretty much... It's always 20th century plus in terms of, like, modern history, then, I guess, is the sort of topic, well, I guess. I don't know if, like, you'd phrase it as that.
I think it's because you guys are still a little bit, is it chuffed about our little Independence Day?
Yeah.
They're like, fuck those guys. But anything after World War II, they're okay.
Pretty much, yeah. So, with regards to the thing, we did Prohibition... We did the Depression of the 20s.
It's all these low times during the U.S. Like, oh, the economy crashed.
Right, I'm not even lying, right? Everything to do with history is never, like, a feel-good thing, though, is it? Like, so the schooling that in terms of history that I can remember, mainly, as obviously I was a little bit older, was obviously the 1920s, the Prohibition, World War One, World War Two, the Cold War. So it's, like, all, like... very, very negative shit. Then you obviously got the Nazi Germany from like 1914 up to 1950 something.
Yeah.
So like, you've just got, here's all the negative shit that's happened in the last 100 years, and that's all we're going to learn about. So that's pretty much all of...
Well, you learn from history, and you don't repeat mistakes through learning history.
Oh, all right, Captain Price.
Let me just get out my my hat here now.
Because one of the things that we argued was that history was written by the victors.
Right.
So it was never going to give you a true account of maybe what really happened.
It's close enough, I would think. I hope so. I would hope so. I mean, we still have...
You would hope so.
Well, we have records of Constantinople and that, and the barbarians burned that place to the ground. So someone out there was a loser and was like, yeah, we have to write this down. They tried to use pickaxes and tunnel under the city. And
can you, just like a Dear Diary. Yeah. Dear Diary. Today, my entire livelihood was completely fucked up.
The white walls turned black.
They came and they took everything. They burned everything to the ground. They even kicked my sheep. Like
the orc with the funny face spat on the ground in front of me, and he let me go for some reason. Then Aragorn came with the Rohan, and
then Gandalf turned out, and he was like white now.
Yeah, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's what, gray not good enough for you?
I was no, he's got new washing powder, and he's just made his clothes nice and clean.
Yeah.
I was gonna go too many Lord of the Rings reference, but then I realized I because I don't know much.
You know,
I didn't want to get told off by you by saying something wrong.
I think you know the basics from your quiz show, but
something to do with then doesn't he have like an eagle or something?
Gandalf has the Deus Ex Machina eagles. They only arrive when the timing is so perfect, but everyone else is fucked.
Oh, so they just save like one person, and they just like
they save.
We can only be on time once today. Okay.
The only times you see them during the trilogy, the original trilogy that came out, was you see them once when they save Gandalf. He speaks to a bug. Mm. He's like, "Hey, bug, get the bitches," and the bug goes off. And then Saruman's like, "You'll never escape here." And then Gandalf's like, "Peace out, homie." And he jumps off of the tower, and an eagle comes by and saves him, which is how he gets not really reborn, but that's, you know, how he escapes that.
Amazing.
And then they arrive one more time at the end of the movie when Frodo and Sam and Smeagol, or Gollum, if you are being so like that, but they're inside Mount Doom, and they don't show up until after the ring is thrown into the fire, and after everything's fucked, and after they're almost, like, dead by lava. Then the eagles come in, they're like, "Hey," and they have everyone on their backs, like, there's Legolas and Aragorn butt-fucking on the back of one of them, and Gimli's on the other one with Gandalf, and they're, you know, smoking some Mary Jane, and they come by, and they're like, "Hey, guys, what's going on here?" And then they pick them up, and... That's the end of the movie.
Did somebody order an Uber?
Yeah. An e-Google? I can't. That was a bad one.
Hey, have you ever heard of... There's a TV show on a TV channel in... I don't know if it's just the UK, though.
And if it's the called, BBC, I think we have that here on some channels. Netflix, definitely.
Maybe. It's called Drunk History.
Yeah, I don't... I think it's on TV, but I watched a little bit on Netflix.
I would pay money... to see you do, like, a live stream of something like this, of where you just get absolutely shit-faced, and then, like, you, like, how funny would it be if you retold Lord of the Rings, like, obliterated, because obviously you're going to miss so much out, but then, on, like, that little bit then when you were, like, Gandalf just whispers to the bugs, like, "Go get the bitches," and then, like, that would be... Like, how good would that be? And so then they stroll up with all these other, like,
just. I don't know. I don't know.
I think that would be so good. That would be so funny.
I don't know if I could do it when I'm drunk, though. I have never been drunk, one, and that's not a lie. I've never been drunk. I've never been wasted off my mind. So I don't know if like I would just like. I don't know. I don't know how I am drunk. So this is the way I act.
This is
usually the way that people act drunk. But you know, I don't know if it's flopped upside down.
You've never been blackout drunk.
No, I don't have friends like that. You know, we.
Oh.
Back in the day, I.
I thought you were just gonna stop. I don't have friends.
Well, I to be honest with you, I really don't have many friends outside of the internet. And
I'm the same.
The two
I'm
that
the
I
same,
have,
bro.
But. Back in the day, me and my friends at the time were supposed to, we all got passports, so I paid like $100 for a passport, got my picture taken, all that. We were supposed to go to Canada, because in Canada you can drink when you're 18, and we were all 18. And we were supposed to, you know, rent out a place and blah, blah, blah. Well, that all fell through, so now I'm sitting here, I have a freaking passport in here. Yeah, here's, just to prove to you that it's real.
So you've,
there's my passport.
You've never used it then?
I never used it. There are no... stickers on it. There's no stamps in it. It's never left my desk drawer. It's never left this desk drawer. This is the drawer from my parents' house. I came here. I have it. And if you want to renew it now, I think it's like I would have to actually get a whole new one because my stuff has changed so much.
You completely expired it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the
Well, just saying, it's almost like a rite of passage in the UK. Like the first ever time. Oh, this is gonna show how. Much of a reprobate we are.
Excuse me?
A reprobate meaning like a loose cannon style, like uncontrollable teenager.
Oh, okay.
Like you're a little bit of a... So I think the first time that I was properly like smashed out of my tree drunk was when I was like 14.
Okay. Yeah,
like,
young.
And to be honest, to be honest though, that's kind of late. Where I grew up, so like I was a good boy by standards, so but yeah, so I tell you what you need to do, Yemi, is renew your fecking passport, come over to the UK.
and
we'll teach you how to drink.
I'll have to build up some money and run out there.
People, go to the description in this video, go to Yemi's Streamlabs. Donate for his UK funded trip.
No, we're not asking for money. It was a joke.
No, not asking for money. I'm asking you to give Yemi money. So he's not asking for money. I'm technically not asking for money either. So hashtag loophole.
Yeah,
okay?
There you go. Well, P2, on the subject of we were talking about history and Nazi Germany, and.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, it came out that the new Wolfenstein game coming out is going to have Nazi imagery in the game in Germany. which is
crazy. To be fair, Germany is potentially one of my most favorite places, like, in the entire world.
Except during, really, like, the really 30s or 40s, yeah.
Well, luckily I wasn't born that time. And to be honest, if I was, we would have been, you know, enemies by default, I would assume. So I've been there a lot, and I really, really love it. I really enjoy being there. And I don't know, like, obviously you know a lot about history and stuff like that, but Germany, especially in Berlin as well, because of the wall and stuff like that, really, really embrace that history. And they're not kind of like shying away from it. We're kind of saying, look, we were like this. We're not hiding anything. It's here, and we're making sure like this shit never happens again, kind of thing. So you go to certain places and they've got like maybe like an old SA HQ or something, which they've dug out and they've made into a museum. Maybe they've got like a memorial on the thing. They've got like all of the remaining part of the Berlin Wall. They've had like people paint and make murals and stuff on it, and they get changed every so often. So they're trying to sort of take everything that was very, very negative, obviously, but, and then they're making people learn about it. They're not shying away from any of this stuff whatsoever. And it's a very, like, so I'm not surprised that they've allowed this, because obviously, like for reasons I've just mentioned, like, they're not shying away from it, and they're not trying to say, look, we don't ever want to see this again, but it's a part of history. And that, you know, that needs to be known, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So, I'm not surprised, and especially in Germany as well. But then, it is a game, so you know, it's within a historical context, though, isn't it? Obviously, it's not like
it's
everything, but like it's the same as like if you did a war game based in America. It's like saying you're not going to have particular flags during the Civil War. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be dealt with in the right kind of way. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, they're viewing video games as art now, so that's why it's starting to get a, not really a pass, but it's like a case-by-case basis. So if, like, if someone submits a video game and it's like Nazi propaganda, they're gonna be like, no, fuck that. But, you know, a game like Wolfenstein that's, you know, set in an alternate universe and it handles the subject very well, they say, okay, we'll put it out, but you have to make another version of the game for the people who don't want these types of imagery in the game.
Yeah, like a setting almost.
So they're going to have two copies in Germany. One's going to have a big disclaimer saying this has Nazi imagery, and one's going to be like, this one does not have a Nazi imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And the time's going to tell which one sells more, and I'm going to guess it's the one with the imagery in it, because...
I don't know
how the Germans feel about it, because I'm not German, and I have not been to Germany, but... It's an interesting time, because it's been so, like, it's been a few decades since they okayed movies, like Quentin Tarantino's movie and stuff like that, but it's been even longer since a video game has been released with that kind of stuff in it, so it's an interesting time.
What do you think about it overall? Do you think it's a positive thing, negative thing, or...?
I think it's a positive thing. It's gonna open up the way for more video games, I guess, in Germany. I don't know, because in America here, like, the first game that I played with German soldiers in a World War II soldiers was Call of Duty. Call of Duty Finest Hour.
Yeah.
And those games glorify the war. They make everything seem all pretty and happy up until, like, Call of Duty World War II.
Unsuccessful.
Yeah. So my look at Nazis was always, oh, it's pure evil, we're just killing Nazis. But then... Yeah. As you learn about history and you go and you look at it from the other side, you go, okay, so it was a, you know, they were swayed by this leader who was very good with words, and they were pretty much taken over instead of like a lecture and stuff like that. And there were things that happened that triggered this war that were more likely set up. Like World War I was the death of Archduke Ferdinand, who shot him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I can see both sides of this thing. And
it was like Germany had nothing to do with it to begin with. They were like, hey, how dare you? And they were like, well...
Well, it's all because of World War II started because of the sanctions. You know, all the...
Yeah.
And then they weren't enforced, so they were supposed to have a limited military and blah, 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 blah. And everyone was like, yeah, who cares about them? Let them rot. And that gave way for the new power to come up in it, you know. But linking it back to the Call of Duty thing. So when you go back and... play a Call of Duty game, And you're like, okay, so I can see where, you know, they just showed them as pure evil. Like, none of the American troops die in Call of Duty 2, but there's cutscenes of German soldiers who, like, are just standing there and they're talking on a radio or something. They're, you know, doing their basic German blabber, and they just get sniped. And you're supposed to, like, applaud or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think Call of Duty World War II took it a little bit of a better way, even though it still was, like, overly, like, evilness coming from every single soldier. There were still, like, a few of those scripted moments where, you know, a German soldier was spared because it's just a kid, you know? Because a lot of the soldiers on the front line during the end of the war, they were the sick, they were the wounded, and they were old, and they were also young. Like, so young, they shouldn't have been holding a rifle. So, you know, the end of the war... And the Russians, like, were barging into Berlin. They didn't fucking care. Germany burned their land. So they were like, fuck them. And boom. Now we had the Berlin Wall. Then Rammstein was like, yeah, we want to play on both sides of the wall. So they took down the wall. And here we go. Here we are.
Okay, fair enough. But I think it's a positive thing as well. But then I also don't want it to become part of, like, a thing where games are putting in dodgy things.
Just to be...
For the sake of doing it. Or they see, like, oh, Wolfenstein sold, like, so many copies because of this. Oh, why don't we find something, like, equally as, like, you know, terrible or whatever and throw that in there kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And it, like you said, though, it's almost then, in a way, trying to glorify something that has happened. And it's almost like, is it right to make profit off that? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know...
Because obviously, from Wolfenstein's point of view, obviously you've got your fans and stuff as well anyway, but then how much more of a selling point is it going to have because of this aspect? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, so, like, does that count as the company profiteering off that?
Do you get what I mean? I think because Wolfenstein has a long tenure with doing this kind of thing, I don't think they're exactly, like, trying to profit off of it. It's not going to hurt their sales at all. The one thing that was a point of controversy back in America, there's the 9/11 memorial where the Twin Towers used to be. And at the end of that memorial, there's like this whole museum, you go through it, there is a gift shop. And I was like, when I first heard about that, I was like...
Like, really?
I don't know about that. It's like, what's going to be on those shirts? Like, I Heart New York? Like, what... And who's going to...
I don't know.
It just seemed like a weird thing to me. It was still like... It wasn't even 10 years after the event, and they have a gift shop in there with keychains and magnets and stuff like that. All that normal New York stuff.
But, like, what's it under the premise of, though? Is it to do to the upkeep of that kind of thing?
I think it helps with that, but... I mean, you could just ask for donations. Like, you don't need you know, it would be like if you went to Omaha Beach in France, and there's all those white crosses, and at the end of the trail, there's a gift shop, and it has, you know, remember Omaha. You know, like, remember the Alamo, but it's, and remember the Omaha. Yeah. It's like, what? This is,
it's in bad taste.
Yeah, it is in bad taste, I think.
And but, it's the same. I don't know if you've, in Berlin, there's the Holocaust Memorial. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
You know, funny thing, I saw it on the Amazing Race. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a show where where pairs of Americans on teams, they race around the world. So they start in
Gumball.
Yeah, they start in, like, California, is it like Gumball, and then they fly. 3000? I don't know what Gumball is.
So basically, there's like teams of two. They get like really nice, cool sports cars and like racing cars and all kind of thing. Well, and they just literally drive.
No, it's not like that. It's like they go on a plane. It's just you are assigned vehicles. It's not like an actual race. Like, you go to, let's say you start in California, and from California you go to Japan. When you land in Japan, there you have to find this box that has a clue in it, and you read the clue, and it describes the place you need to go to, and they go to that place, and then there's usually something that is normal in that country. Like, when they went to Africa, they had to help with making spatulas. There's this whole, like, welding factory. Not factory. It's like an open area factory that you have to make a spatula. And then, you know, whoever does it first, you know, they get out of there first. They get to go to the next place first. And there's pit stops along the way where everyone stops and one team gets eliminated, et cetera, et cetera.
So you've seen the memorial.
Yes.
Then, right?
In a roundabout way of saying it, yes, I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it.
So obviously, for those of you that haven't seen it, it's a big open area, and one of the walking tours that I went on. So basically, we're all around Europe. There are people in like red T-shirts, and because I went all around Europe and for a tour, and you can go there, and the tour is free, and they'll take you all over the city and show you where all these things are, and what the significance is, and all these kind of really cool things. And then at the end, like we said before, like you give them like a donation, right?
Yeah.
So you give them like 10 euros or something, and you know, like if everybody does that, they make like 100 euros or something, and it's just it's a cool way of doing it. So where this memorial is kind of like pretty much like less than 100 meters away from the Brandenburg Gate.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So again, if you haven't seen this, it's like that's the big kind of plinthing coliseum type archway where you've got the four horses and the woman on the top of it. I can't remember her name, but I know a little bit of a story about her as well. And that was again because of the walking tour.
Yeah.
So that is also the hotel where Michael Jackson like dipped his baby off the balcony.
Oh, do you fantastic! I don't know if you remember this. Yeah.
So you know, lots of history over there. So basically, right, a little cutscene before we go back to the serious thing. The woman, I can't remember her name. The person on top of the Brandenburg Gate. Her face used to be straightforward, right? So on these things, you've got these four horses. She's in kind of like a chariot, and her face used to be like straight down this huge road, right?
Yeah.
Then, like, I think it was like 1700, potentially. I don't know, maybe a lot later. I can't remember entirely. French forces were invading Berlin. And part of like a bit of a joke is that they climbed to the top of this Brandenburg Gate and they cut this statue's head off, right? And they took it and whatever. And then, again, very, very non-specific details here. So when Germany finally got the head of this statue back, they no longer had it placed front and center to be sort of down this hill. They now have it angled towards the French embassy, which is in that quartet of where the Brandenburg Gate is, which is, I thought was pretty freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Almost like keeping an eye on them, like, I'm watching you, bro. So, yeah, so, like, this Holocaust memorial, like, and to be honest, if you don't know that's what it is, you'd never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's these big kind of rectangular kind of cuboid shapes that range in height from potentially like 9-10 foot high, because the floor kind of dips as you go down, to being like maybe half a foot high, okay? And they are scattered everywhere. And for people that know, like you walk in between the blocks and whatever, and it's kind of interesting. But for those who don't know, you have then like children and teenagers and whatever jumping like on the top of these blocks.
Oh.
And using it as kind of like a playground.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, at what point do you need to, because there's a museum there for the Holocaust as well. So like people who know it's there know what that's referring to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, where do you stand when you see stuff like that? Do you be like, get off, what the hell are you doing? Or because it's naive, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's they're not doing it to be nasty or whatever, but it's like, well,
yeah,
at what point do you need to like overshow it? And then if you see what I mean? So like, you're like, oh, this is this. To the point of where people are walking around and in a way you can't really enjoy the city, I guess, because you almost feel like you have to be so respectful of everything that you can't possibly laugh if you go past something like that. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean like at it, obviously, but like, so it's kind of, I think it's an interesting kind of aspect of, acknowledging history and stuff like this, but then at what point do you allow it to, like, allow a place to sort of develop then, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. Yeah, it's hard to gauge when, like, you need to step in something like that, because, I mean, if they're not from around there, you know, they don't know mm-hmm. better. But if they are from around there, it's like, hello.
The thing is, though, and I pray that one day you get to visit it, like, because Berlin is an amazing,
Germany's on my bucket list.
Cultural place.
I really want to go to Germany and Italy, of course, because that's where my ancestors are from, so it's like...
Yes. I've been very fortunate. I've been to a lot of places in sort of mainland Europe and stuff, but the little area, I say little because Berlin is colossal,
yeah.
But like that kind of small area where you are, you've got the Brandenburg Gate, you've got the Holocaust Memorial, there's another memorial not so far away that is a huge kind of like stone cube that's half submerged into the floor. I'll send you a picture later so you can sort of get what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And there's like a small screen that you can look inside, and it's kind of like a nod towards the homosexuality that was massively frowned upon, especially during the Nazi era. And basically, it's just a video of men kissing each other, and then it'll, like, after a certain while, it'll be like women kissing each other or whatever. And it's just like a small kind of nod to that. And then, say, maybe 200, 300 meters down the road, there's a humongous, and I mean humongous, like, statue where you've got, like, tanks, and then there's a massive Russian soldier, and it's to commemorate the Russian soldiers that died on the sort of purge towards Berlin. And it's right by the Reichstag as well. So, like, it's a huge area of a lot of very important shit. So, like, it's almost like you can't not know it's what it's about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much.
So
yeah.
For me, that I don't find that as an excuse, and I think it's like when you go into a place like Berlin as well. Like for me, Berlin is known as the capital of Germany, and obviously German's history kind of automatically comes to me, and then beer. They're the two things that I tend to think of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost like cliched or stereotypical or whatever, but they're the things that come to my mind. So when I see something that doesn't look common, and the Holocaust Memorial is anything but that, it's kind of, my first instinct is to not jump around on it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, like, personally, I just think people some people just don't care. Like, it's just like they go somewhere and they have five kids and they're like, oh, I'm tired and I don't care, or you know, it all stems down to like you see the person open up their window while they're driving and they throw like a bag of McDonald's out the window. It's like, do you just not care, like, or what? You know, you can always wait to throw something out. You know, same thing with like cigarette butts too. I know like they take like a week to decompose, but it's still like, I don't know how many people I've driven behind, and they'll just open up their window and boop, there goes a little cigarette butt.
It's illegal in our country to do that. Well, and people,
it's illegal to litter here, but it's not like we can have a police officer following every single person, you know?
Yeah, but like, it's like with smoke, and I understand that you can't just like leave it in your car, but with like your rubbish, like what harm is it doing? Like, I've had it where I've just dumped it on like my passenger side, like, where their feet would go.
Yeah, just today.
And then when I get to the house, and then I'll just chuck it in the house. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel the need for you to get rid of it that soon. Like, why do you need to... Why?
Yeah.
It's just lazy, man.
Yeah, the other thing about the cigarettes thing is, like, you're already smoking that, and you already like the smell of it, so why not just leave it in your car? Like, what's the
Yeah, point? Why not just burn your car? Yeah. Leave the environment, just burn your own car.
Oh, anyways, going back to The Amazing Race, last week I talked about, well, I mentioned that I had a dream about PewDiePie, which...
Yes, I was wondering if you'd actually, like, touched on
this is the way
again
to get back to it, because The Amazing Race was a part of the dream. Amazing Race is one of those shows that I watched a lot when I was a kid. Yeah.
So when you, let me know when you begin this dream.
All right.
Because I want to know what happens literally from the moment you enter REM sleep to the moment that you wake up,
right.
Okay? I want to know it all, Yamatha, right?
Let's go. I have a lot of weird dreams. I don't remember them anymore. This one's kind of stuck with me because I've been trying to remember it.
That's a topic we could talk about, because I've got a dream that for some reason I still remember to this day, and I want to see what you think about maybe deconstructing it, okay?
Yeah, I have a dream from when I was like a little kid that I still remember. It's like it merges the line between dream and reality because it's hard to figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's a topic for another day. But so The Amazing Race, as I said, is this show on TV, and it's gone for a lot of seasons now. It's one of my favorite shows to watch just because it's fun to see the different areas where it's like I can't go there, but at least I can see what it looks like through this show. And sure, I could Google things, but it's like, what's the fun of that? There's not people racing for $1 million, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the dream starts, and I'm, like, at this giant ball pit, and there's two rows of balls, and there's a divider in the middle, and there's, like, basketball hoops on the far end. And what you gotta do is you gotta wade through the balls, and you have to dunk the ball. And me and PewDiePie, I don't know why it was PewDiePie, me, because I was watching his content a lot that week. But, you know, we were on a team together, and we did it. We dunked the ball, and we got the next clue. And the next clue was like this puzzle, this crazy puzzle. It was, you know, you had to know the local slang pretty much. Hey, we're rotating around the world again. And so we didn't know one of them, but we just filled it in real fast, and we got like the clue for the where the final places, the pit stop they're called, and right. we like I remember in my dream yelling out the name of the guy who runs the show. His name is Phil. He's the host of the show. So I just remember yelling right. Phil, and we ran over this hill, and there was like a baseball cage, and there was a baseball field, and sure. he was there, and we went up there, and he was like, "Oh, sorry guys, this isn't right." So we were like quickly trying to like. You know, talk to people, and this two yeah. team of girls came up and they won, and we came in yeah. second. And I just remember like I was so disappointed. And then when I woke up, I was yeah. like, "Oh, thank God, it was just a dream." Like, because to be honest with you, if you're that close to winning like $1 million and you miss yeah. one thing, and it's like, how do you yeah. go home and sleep at night? So I was so yes. like, there's so many dreams that I have though, where like I crash my car, I run into someone, I you know,
wow.
I. You know, something happens, and then I wake up, yeah. and I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I don't have to call like, my insurance company.
I was just, like, are you one person to, like, talk in your sleep?
Yeah, I talk in my sleep, and, I do. Sometimes like, I'll sleepwalk as well. It's just how.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've done that a few times, but, I'm a serial talker. Like, I'll have a full-on conversation with you, despite the fact that, like, I'm asleep or whatever.
Yeah, I don't do that.
How funny it would be for, like, your fiancé, like, if you're on this vision of where you're then shouting out Phil,
yeah, Phil.
In your dream.
She's like,
what the hell is he dreaming about?
I seriously could have, though, because there's times where, you know, I'll wake up mid-saying something, and I'll be like, oh, that's kind of weird. I've never woken up while sleepwalking, but I have sleepwalked, because in the past, like, when I used to live with my parents when I was a kid, like, I got up one time, and I went to the bedroom, and I was like, my mom was like, you were pretending to wash your hair, and you were like, there's no shampoo, and she told me just to go back to bed, and I went back to bed. So it's weird.
What the hell? That is weird, man. Well, the dream that I had, and I can remember it vividly, right? So the town that I used to live in, every summer, so from like late July to like early August, we'd have a fair arrive, right? So do you know what a fair is? I don't know if it translates to America.
Yeah, it's like a... Yeah, I know.
Like carnival stores and like mini rides and stuff like that, yep. right? So
those are pretty dangerous.
Yes. So it would like shut down the town. So like you couldn't like drive through the main street anymore. So like you had to go like sort of other routes around. Like if you went from that town, you'd get easily confused and whatever. So I remember that there was a zombie apocalypse, right?
Yeah, okay.
Standard now, isn't it? And the thing is, right, so I was in my town and I was walking around and these zombies would sort of walk towards me and it would be like Resident Evil zombies. Like, they're not going to, like, sprint me down at any time, right?
That's good.
So where this, like, these stores were, sometimes, like, you'd have to do ones where you have to, like, hook a duck from, like, a spinning platform or something.
Yeah.
That you have to, like, throw darts onto a particular card. You know, those kind of things, mm-hmm. right?
And, the darts are always weighted on one end. The basketballs are also always yeah. heavier than normal basketballs.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I was in this town, and these zombies are sort of coming towards me, and I dive into, like, the center of one of these, like, carnival kind of, like, three goes for a pound type thing, right?
Okay.
And in my dream now, so these zombies are coming towards me. I dive into the thing, and once I'm in the middle of one of these stalls, they completely freeze, right?
Oh.
So they're not, like, icy, if you see what I mean. Like, they've just completely, like, stop. Almost like they've been paused, yeah. right?
Okay.
And then they don't react again until I'm out of the thing, so I could find that I could, like, move from stall to stall and sort of make sure that I was safe because they wouldn't move whilst I was there, kind of thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, really weird dream. I remember having it when I was, like, 14, 15 years old, and for some reason, like, I've always remembered it, even if as I've grown up. But,
yeah.
Interesting question for you now, because last week, just before the elevator doors shut on us, you said that it was to do with PewDiePie and Will Smith Genie.
Well, Will Smith Genie was a meme.
Oh.
Have you seen the live action trailer for Aladdin? It has Will Smith as the genie instead of Robin Williams.
I've seen
he's blue,
clips,
Abadi.
But nothing major.
Okay.
To be honest.
Well, if you look him up, it looks awful. And okay. The movie has...
Okay.
I haven't seen the movie yet because everyone I've talked to, every trailer I've seen, it just looks, like, dark and depressing and lifeless. Kind of like the,
yeah.
If you saw The Lion King put out a new, like, little mini trailer on one of those popular nighttime shows that I can't be
yeah.
asked to know the name of. And it was them singing the "It's all problem-free philosophy."
Oh my god!
Akuma na Matata, and they were literally just it was Timon, Pumbaa, and Simba as a grown lion.
Yeah.
And it just looked like animals walking around, and their mouths were like moving like puppets. And I was like, "How much money have you dumped on this? And how much are you gonna shit on my childhood?" A lot, apparently. But that's essentially what they did with Aladdin.
That much.
Yeah, it's like these characters. Like if you hadn't
but they're doing
seen
the same with Ariel then as well, the Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah, they're doing they're casting for that, and then I think they're
why
also...
why is this a thing now where like everything has to be like a live action? Because
Beauty and the Beast made so much money. You know, they did that on a whim.
But even that was crap though.
Well, yeah, it was, and I think it just makes enough money that they go, well, it's worth it. It's worth to get a little bit of flack because these
literally
hordes of zombies, literally hordes of zombies, go to the theaters and they go, "Oh, I know Aladdin," and then they're like, "I know these songs. I like Will Smith. You know, I liked Shark Tale. Like, come on."
said no one ever.
Yeah, really.
Nobody goes around.
The car wash.
Wanna
no.
go and watch? They're gonna be like, "Do you want to come and watch this? You know, this cool film with Will Smith in it." Oh, did he do Shark Tale? Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, then yes, definitely, I will be there.
I hope he has like fins too, because that's my favorite rendition of Will Smith. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I hope he makes friends with a shark who's a vegetarian. That would be really cool.
But yeah, so Disney's just like shitting these things out, and they look worse and worse as they go. Like Beauty and the Beast was like all right, and the Jungle Book was like okay. William Dafoe's in it, I guess
was
I'll give
it
a pass.
No, the cast that they had for the Jungle Book was absolutely out of this world.
Well, and same thing with the Lion King. Like you got all these people, Eric Andre's in it. Like that's one of my favorite comedians ever.
Oh, I love how like the first two people that come to my mind when I think of it is like Beyonce and freaking Childish Gambino, and you're like, Eric Andre.
Key and Peele. They're in it too. I don't know, it's just like they're never gonna capture the original magic of that movie, you know.
I don't think it's possible.
Well,
though.
Cartoons are so amazing. Like, these movies are timeless.
That's why they're good.
Either way, like the animation still holds up to this day. You know, the references, the jokes, blah 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 blah, the songs. And then you get like this new rendition of Friend Like Me with Will Smith, and he's auto-tuned, and you know it's like they're trying to do like CGI stuff with him, and it's like it's never going to be as good as, you know, Robin Williams turning into the actual people he's impersonating, or
that's,
you know, stuff
I
like
think
that.
That's the difficulty though, like when something's become so like pop culture famous, like obviously Disney's like such a, you know, it's almost like they've done it so perfectly first time that they can't ever improve. And
well, they shouldn't.
Anytime that... But then it's almost like that every time that you watch this, then you're going to think, oh, yeah, it's going to be like this. And it's going to be like this. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like when people get pissed off at like a band that they change their sound after like 10 years. And it's just like, well, what do you expect them to do?
Yeah,
of course, they're going to naturally change and whatever. So like, it's with... You know, Heath Ledger's Joker that comes to mind. Like, since that, like, nobody gave a shit about Jared Leto. Nobody's really gonna give a shit about Joaquin Phoenix.
Hold on.
Even
hold
though,
on now,
no,
please.
No, right,
hold on.
What I'm saying is, though,
Jared Leto
is,
was a terrible Joker no matter what. Okay?
No. But what I'm. No, but more my point is that a lot of people became massive fans of that franchise because of that role.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and then now
and
you
so
can't have a,
now
can't have anything
they, yeah,
a Joker
so,
in it because of that.
Yeah, but now that when they see that, it's almost like, oh, the Joker's going to be in it, so oh, that's going to make it awesome. And then there's placing so much emphasis on that role, even though it might be like a bit part character or whatever, that people want it to be as iconic as that Heath Ledger role, and it's never going to be, so people are then not going to be impressed with it. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's the same good thing for when you have like a Disney film that... Even though the graphics are insane, like realistically, if you just saw a film like that, that it looks phenomenal, like so much time and effort and dedication has gone into making them look legit and all that kind of stuff, but nobody gives a shit because it's not the animated film from 1997 or whatever it is.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, either way, people are going to go see it. Either it's for just ripping it apart, or it's because, oh, my kids are going to enjoy this as much as I enjoy it. No.
It's but like my point with, like, with Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man, right? If they ever did recreate an Iron Man series, nobody's going to be like, everyone's going to be like, he's not RDJ, so don't really give a shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
So it's almost like, what's the point?
Well,
is it literally just to make money?
Well, people still like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy, and they always compare Spider-Man to Tobey Maguire's version of Spider-Man. And
yeah, he's better than Andrew Garfield, though, to be fair.
What was that? Wait, what'd you say?
He's better than the Andrew Garfield.
Well, yeah, he's 10 times better than Andrew Garfield. I mean, even though Andrew Garfield was a fan of Spider-Man and he, like, wanted to make it the best he could, it just didn't work out. And then you see Tom Holland and you're like, well, I still kind of like the Sam Raimi one, but it's still
I rate the Tom Holland one, you know?
Well, yeah, I like that one's probably, he's probably the best so far, to be honest with you, but I still have that nostalgia for Tobey Maguire screaming at, like, a little girl. Like, that's...
Well, with the train scene.
Yeah.
Or that awkward dance move, like when he's walking down the street and he's just like...
Yeah, he's...
Like, doing like...
Yeah.
And doing like guns and like...
And he's humping the air, yeah.
Those...
Like, I'm not gonna lie, the trilogy lost its way at number three, but I think the first two movies still hold up even to this day. And the third one, like, cut out a few things and you got a competent movie, but they went back and they're like, oh, Sandman's the guy who actually killed Uncle Ben, blah 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 blah. Whatever, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah,
the thing is with Spider-Man, I find that he's like one of like the Marvel's characters where he's got like 4,000 fecking enemies. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's just like when you make a film,
technically all of them have so many enemies. Like, you're gonna go in, like,
no, but like I mean in the comic books, like, well, the comic book where there's literally like 8 of them against him.
Yeah,
and it's just
the Sinister Six. You're just missing two.
No, but you get what I'm saying, right? So like, there's like so much thing. Like, what? Why do you need to kill like a freaking teenager so bad?
It's a pain in the ass. He's a pain in the ass. That's why.
So, yeah, so I just find, like, when you're trying to relay that to film, you're always going to get someone who isn't happy about it.
Well, yeah, and they're usually the most vocal out of all of them. Like, a group of 300 people, you know...
They're like, oh, I've been reading the comics since I was 6.
He doesn't have short hair, he has medium to long hair. You stupid noob!
And it's not
as
dark brown as that, you noob!
Yeah, I think when they blatantly try to change a character, like, so much that you don't recognize them, I think that's when people should get angry. But it's like, when you just have a few variants here, like, oh, he has got blue eyes instead of green eyes. Like, what's the matter? What's the problem?
But like, I've seen these things on my Facebook, right? I hardly use Facebook. I only use it to literally scroll through every now and again, right?
Yeah, I've barely.
And because so many of my friends on Facebook are like Game of Thrones fans and stuff like that.
Uh-oh.
Like, I've never watched an episode, right? I've never been bothered by it, right? So I'm always getting like these, like, tons of like Game of Thrones like articles and stuff of, oh, here's what the characters really should have looked like from the book. And I'm just like, do you actually give a shit?
Yeah, it's just,
because like,
it's the same thing with Harry Potter.
Are you really gonna complain?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I'm just like, it's interpretation. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all interpretation.
Like, otherwise, it's just like, oh, anything to whinge, man. Anything to have a whinge about something.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't get it.
Boy.
Like, speaking of whinging, well, go on.
Yeah, ever since, season whatever of Game of Thrones ended, like, I actually know a lot more about the series now because everyone, like, has been doing their, you know, season-spanning review,
sure.
And they go to 8 and they're like, this is why it sucks so much. And I feel for those people. But then again, you gotta remember that, like, this is the real world, and companies exist, and the two guys who are working on Game of Thrones, they're offered to do Star Wars. It's like...
Newsflash, dragons don't exist,
Newsflash, obviously, they didn't have giant crossbows on ships, okay? I think that that's the first thing we need to look at here. And then the second thing, there's no dragons in the world.
Yeah, so sorry guys, just to let you know.
Oh, this guy who just swam several miles to get to the shore. Yeah, he can go into a sword fight and almost win. Yeah,
you know the guy that literally died and then came back to life like 12 hours later. Fine.
You know the guy who can turn people into ice zombies? You know, I just talked to him last week. He was like, "Yeah, I'm so cold these days, but it's good now because it's so hot."
Yeah, it's just perfect timing because it's summertime, you know, so I needed to be cool.
Just don't stab him because then, like, a million people will just flat out turn to dust.
Yes, like, to be fair though, like, because obviously, like I was saying, I've got so many of these people like hyping this stuff up to the fact that he just died with like the shittiest of blades. I was like, bruh. I would be fuming as well, though. I'd be like, really?
From the beginning, like, of like them introducing the fact that commanders control a group of zombies, I knew. Just from that, you know that they're going to use that for the king. For whatever reason, he goes out first into the battle. And for whatever reason, he doesn't kill this person right away like he probably would if it was an actual character. There's so many movies nowadays that's like the villain's like, you know, choking him instead of just shooting him in the face. Or
just stood on his head waiting, and it's just like, what are you waiting for? Why are you waiting?
Some of the most,
like, if that's an actual battle, that's a like an axe to the face and that's the end of it. Like,
well, yeah, so some of the most egregious things in Mortal Kombat X during the campaign is like, there's this guy who has dual revolvers, and literally he's going up against someone and he aims them at the person and he's running towards them but he doesn't shoot. And it's like, dude, like, point blank right there.
Did you see that Sam Russo tweeted that it's going to be an R-rated movie?
Thank God.